You're listening to Midwest Vegan Radio.
We're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners.
With your hosts, Dallas.
That sounds so good.
And Ryan.
Pass the noosh.
All right.
All right.
Episode 20.
I can't believe we made it to 20.
I can.
Still. I know you can. I know you still can.
I still can.
It still surprises me.
All right. So welcome to episode 20 of Midwest Vegan Radio.
Dallas and Ryan are funny.
We hope.
Episode 20, we're super funny in our own minds.
Well,
we amuse ourselves.
Lots.
Yeah.
It doesn't rhyme with 20, but hey.
But funny rhymes with 20.
Yeah. We're funny bunnies.
But not really, because it's 20. It's not 20. It's 20.
20. 20.
So, what rhymes with 20?
20.
Plenty.
Nah.
Vegans' plenty. Diets are...
I don't know.
Are a
I
corn
think 20
of,
is
a
fine.
Corn of plenty?
20? Plenty?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on. I think we've covered it sufficiently.
Okay.
That's all right. So, who are you?
I'm Megan.
No, you're not. Liar, pants on fire.
Just kidding. Kötü blāta bikšu nav.
What?
Apparently that's the Latvian translation for liar, liar, pants on fire. But I think what it actually translates to is, why are you screaming? Aren't you wearing any pants?
Okay.
Well, I'm not Megan.
That nutball is actually...
I'm Ryan.
Good. And I'm Dallas.
Elliot's over there.
Hello.
Megan's right there.
Hey.
Who am I was pretending to be?
But you're not.
Not
and
today.
Everyone knows it.
Not today. Not everybody knows it. I'm sure that if Megan and I went somewhere and were like, hey, we're from Midwest Vegan Radio, they wouldn't be able to pick us out. They wouldn't know which one is which.
That's okay, fine. Okay. So today, we're going to be talking about veganism in the workplace.
Oh.
Another thing that we all struggle with.
We do.
Well,
you
not,
don't.
I don't. I actually don't at all. But well, no, that's not true. I mean, I have a second job, and it's usually not that big a deal, but it can be.
Does your second job at all ever have anything to... I mean, does that even come up?
Rarely.
Do they ever invite you out to eat?
Rarely. Well, no. But there are... I mean, I'll talk about it. We'll get there.
Just like in our last episode, I actually wrote an article for This Dish Is Veg related to being vegan in the workplace, which we'll link to the blog. But we'll also talk about, so if you don't like to read, you can just listen and I'll recap my post.
Okay, so, well, I don't have this big of an issue with my day-to-day work life because I work for an animal rights organization, so veganism in my workplace is expected.
And everything
and embraced.
At the boutique in which you work, which is the storefront for your organization, is vegan.
Is vegan as well.
So yeah. If you're like, I want some chocolate, it's vegan.
Yeah, well, duh.
If you're like, I want some eco cheddar.
Most things in my world are vegan. So I'm not usual that way. But I also, I've had jobs in the past that... I had some issues with the vegan stuff. And currently, I'm a figure model. So I pose for artists and art classes, and I do private work and stuff. And so that can come up occasionally. There's, you know, like, there was this fad for, I don't know, if it, a couple of years ago, where the artsy students liked to wear, like, tails of animals.
What?
Like, fur tails, like fox tails, clipped onto their pants, so it looked like they had tails. It's disgusting.
I miss this?
I don't know. I mean, it's just that kind of thing, and it's like I can't really say anything because I don't want to, well, I mean, I could, but I don't want to risk losing my job. So stuff like, you know, stuff
That's
like that.
Weird.
Like I would never pose along with a fur. I have like had a skull of a nut. Non-human skull up next to me. I don't know. I didn't really have a big... I just... So, yeah, things like that come up. but I wouldn't want like antlers, you know, or like a head mounted on things. Because with artists, like they're always wanting to use anatomy, various yeah. kinds of anatomy.
And although things, antlers so. Could be shed. You don't necessarily know the origin.
Well, I mean, if they're on a skull with some little fur, then you know that that was part of a head.
That's true.
But yeah. So anyway, I mean, it comes up very occasionally.
Okay. Weird side note though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, unless you were a hunter, you would be mounting animals anyway, but like 20 bajillion years ago, back when I did eat animals, we actually ended up getting deer because a German shepherd chased a pack of them and they ran. A couple of the small ones got under this fence, but the two adult females just ran into the, like they were trying to jump the fence, but they didn't make it.
Aww.
And so they were being chased by a dog. And so they were injured to the point that they needed to be killed anyway, because they had injured their necks. So they weren't moving anywhere. Which is a really bizarre tangent, I apologize. But my point is, they weren't hunted. They died of kind of a natural situation.
Yeah.
Was that a weird tangent?
It is kind of, I mean, it kind of reminds me of those, like, if you're on a desert island or, you know, would you eat roadkill or that kind of thing? But, yeah.
My point is, you can usually presume the source of something, but not always.
Not always, you're right. But anyway, so, I mean, it doesn't come up for me very much, the vegan issue now, currently. It certainly did before. Actually, one of the worst ones was when I worked for an advertising agency. And one of our clients was the zoo.
Oh.
And another client was Famous Dave's. And I remember they were doing like Rib Fest or something. And the company I worked for was in charge of, you know, like promotional things. So they had designed and made a whole bunch of these like cardboard headband things with ears. You know, like pig ears and sunglasses and snouts and stuff like that. And I was supposed to do something. And I remember, like, just being so distraught with it. And my boss, you know, I quit shortly thereafter because I just couldn't. And I was actually really seriously contemplating, like, screwing up deliveries and various things because I just was so, I felt so awful being a cog in that machine.
Yeah.
It was pretty terrible. But so yeah, I didn't work there very long and it can be difficult. I mean, it can be really hard to figure out how to balance like needing to support yourself with ethics in a whole bunch of different ways, not mm-hmm. just animals, but all kinds of different ways.
I have a little, well, I don't have an ethical issue where I work. But sometimes I do think it's kind of funny. First thing I want to say, though, about this is that I think it's easier to go into a new job being vegan than it is to go vegan while you're at a current place, which I go into it at length in the article that I will link to that I wrote. But because just like your family and your friends already have this conception of who you are,
mm-hmm.
when you're suddenly this different person, like, they don't know how to relate to you and they don't understand why, and it can cause a lot of problems. When you start a new job and you're already vegan, that has its own pitfalls, but they're different because that's who you are.
Right, going in.
Right.
They've never known you any different.
Right. I work for a company that, I mean, I'm in the packaging industry. And we make machines that package products, that either primarily package products, like putting something into, like putting Advil into the container, or machines that put the bottles of Advil into the box that they're going to be shipped in. My one, there are two pieces that get me a little, bleh, but I kind of skirt around this in that I'm not directly making companies do what they're doing just by packaging things. Our top two industries that we're involved in is big pharma, first and foremost, and food.
And big industries.
And pharma, I feel like, you know, by packaging their products, I'm not forcing them to test on animals. Like, they don't have to test on animals for, you know, like, you know what I mean? I do remember one day, though, so we quote these big pharma industries. We quote them, you know, the customer, they're looking for machines to handle products. And one day I had a copy of magazine Bite Back, which just is kind of almost like a shack type thing where it's just a magazine and they publish like different things that people have done to try to stop the animal exploitation machine.
It's all about direct action, direct action.
Right.
Yep.
And so I was looking through this, and there was kind of an article about someone, they had committed arson against someone's like summer home or somebody. Nobody was hurt, but they'd committed arson against somebody's property, and they said the company name, and it's a company we quote all the time. And I was just like, I just closed it, and I'm like, maybe I should not be looking at this here. But I feel like, you know, we have these clients that come to our place all the time. People that have already bought machines from us, they're coming to, you know, look at the machines before they're shipped. And I park right in front of the door, and I got a giant sticker that says vegan on the back of my car. And, you know, even I've got a sticker in my workspace that says go vegan. Like, you know, they have to know. And in terms of the food stuff, we do a lot with what we do is a thing called denesting. So like meat trays come packed together. And so the machines that we make they separate the trays. We also do it for things like mushrooms and
right.
things like, you know, berries or things like that, that are also packaged in similar kinds of packaging. But it sometimes like makes my skin crawl when I see these meat. I mean, there's not meat in them, but they are styrofoam packages for things that you would commonly see meat in. And I remember one day we were doing a machine for a company that I'm not going to say the name, but they make these, should I just say it? No, I shouldn't. At any rate, they send samples oftentimes. Sometimes they're real samples and sometimes they're fake samples, but sometimes in order to get the weight right for the machines to function correctly, you have to send the exact product. And in this case, there was no way around it. And first of all, so we had thousands of these packages of food that one were being wasted. And, you know, the people, once the machine was made, were allowed to take these products home if they wanted. And some of the things were things that were not perishable, but some of the product in these cases were perishable. So meats and cheeses. And I'm just thinking, all of these dead animals to make a fucking machine. To make a machine for you to package. Like, all of these animals died to make a fucking machine. Nobody even got sustenance from this. So,
yep.
It can be really, really tough. I mean, I know it's not directly testing on animals. It's not directly serving people food. It's,
yeah.
But there, I think in any, you'd think something like packaging, where's the issue going to be in that? Or how would that be difficult? How would that be hard to deal with? But it really, really can be when you see, I mean, companies that you know have been directly involved with Huntington Life Sciences, like,
yeah,
or you see, like, oh, it's just, it can be really challenging sometimes. But at the same time, like I said, to package their product, they don't have to test on animals. Like, they're
That's if they a made a product, making, yeah.
if they made a product with or without testing on animals, like it, they don't have to.
Yeah.
When I started working there, I was really, really nervous because I, even, you know, when I went in for the interview, because I always put volunteer work on my resume. And when I was meeting with multiple people, they were asking me about my volunteer work. And I've worked for or volunteered with multiple organizations that are political in nature. Before I volunteered with the Animal Rights Coalition in Minneapolis and Compassionate Action for Animals in Minneapolis, I volunteered for PCR, which stands for Pro-Choice Resources. You know, like,
yeah.
But I wasn't going to tell them. I didn't want to say, like, this is a, you know, we distributed safe sex kits or, you know, like, we helped fund abortions or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You know, and when they saw ARC on my resume, they assumed that it was, like, American...
Whatever. Association for Retarded Citizens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just assumed, and so I didn't correct them because I didn't want to be disqualified for a job based on my involvement in animal rights.
Yeah.
But I was really nervous when I got hired because I was like, they said they were taking me out to lunch, and I was like, oh God, where are we going to go? And fortunately, we ended up going to a restaurant. We went to P.F. Chang's, and so... I just ordered, and it didn't even come up then. Like, I just ordered what I ordered.
Yeah.
And that was it, and I was so glad that we ended up going there, because, gosh, if we would have went somewhere like Famous Dave's or something, I would have been like, I'll have the French fries, I guess.
Yeah. Like, little bits of corn on the cob.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no butter. I mean, I would have, yeah. It would have definitely probably been strange, but.
Yeah, I was... really fortunate to get a job at a vegetarian restaurant that has since closed, but I was a server there, and then I ended up becoming the manager, and it was called Mud Pie. And I loved that place, but the people in the back, one of the reasons I loved it was a vegetarian restaurant. And we had a lot, I mean, most everything could be made vegan, just about. And I was free to make recommendations, and I always recommended the vegan thing, and I got to talk about veganism all the time with people. The brunches on the weekends were vegan by default. If you wanted dairy, you had to pay more to get cheese on, you know, your scramble or whatever.
And why shouldn't you?
Yeah, and why shouldn't you? And actually, we had that too. Like, if somebody ordered the vegan version, they got a cheaper, because if it didn't have cheese in it,
right.
Then you shouldn't have to pay for it, you know, like.
Unlike when I went to the Olive Garden and I asked for no meat and vegetables instead, and they charged me $4 extra for frozen vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I know what you mean. But so we didn't do that to people at the Mud Pie, but there was the sour cream. All of my coworkers knew, like, when I needed to, they had this big tub of sour cream, and we had these spoons that with long handles, like Sunday spoons. And after a point, like, you had to kind of reach in there. And if I got sour cream on my knuckles, everybody in the kitchen knew it, because I was flipping out. I was like, I just could not stand it. It just drove me insane. Like, oh my God, this is so nasty, so nasty. And I'm thinking, okay, if the worst thing about my job is that I get sour cream on my knuckles occasionally, I am pretty damn lucky. Like, but it was pretty disgusting. But yeah, so I loved that. And then, unfortunately, the restaurant closed, and I got a job at the Wedge Co-op, which we've talked about on here before, I believe. And so I got a job as a manager at the Wedge. And I think it's fantastic and a really good business practice at the Wedge when you're a manager. You don't have managerial shifts for all your shifts in the week. You need to also work shifts in the positions that you are managing every week as well, so that you stay grounded in reality about, like, what it is that the people you're managing have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And you have empathy and, like, direct understanding about how things work. So I would bag groceries for one shift a week, and I also was a cashier for a couple shifts. And I had to bag up groceries and bag meat and like entire bodies of chickens that were frozen, and I had like the price sticker was on them, you know, and I could see like somebody decided that your life was worth $8, you know, like
yeah, that's high.
That's well, yeah, which is because it's a co-op, but it bothered me so much. And there were some times when, you know, like a bag would rip because they had the deli and, you know, there would be like blood on the conveyor belt or whatever. And there were, so anyway, in my review, I was spoken to, it came up in my review, or maybe it wasn't my review. I think it was like they pulled me aside specifically for this, but some people apparently had commented about my body language around the meat. And that I needed to watch it because apparently my body language was conveying something negative, or like they thought judgmental, or it was making people feel bad or uncomfortable or something.
And well, I'm they like, should feel bad.
You know, like just, I guess, not even really consciously, but like when I would scan things or whatever, like I would try not to touch the parts, you know, mm-hmm. like, because it was disturbing. It was traumatic, you know, like really traumatic. Like how would you feel if you were having to touch dead body parts all day, you know, like of human beings or babies or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really not, that's hard. And it fucking should be, you know, like, because that is the appropriate response to be disgusted and, you know, like not want to get close to something like that. So, anyway, yeah, I was spoken to about that and I had to, you know, when I was cashiering, like, people would talk to me about what they were going to make, you know, with the, all the kind of stuff. And, yeah, there were a couple times, excuse me, I just didn't want, I don't know, it was just so stressful. So stressful. Anyway, yeah, working at a grocery store was not good. I really missed being a server. But there was no way I was going to work in a place that sold meat. There's no way that I could serve up dead animals. I mean, serving dairy was hard enough. I don't think we did any eggs. I don't think we did any eggs at Mud Pie, but there was like cheese and sour cream and there was cream in the coffee or whatever if people wanted it. And vegan versions of all of those things, of course. But, you know, I just imagined like having bones left, like having to clear the table after somebody had eaten, you know, like wings or whatever. And there's just no way that I would be able to do that, even though I really, like, to this day, I would love to be a waitress. Like, it was one of my favorite jobs that I had. I loved it. But yeah, so that, I just know that there's no way that, in terms of, like, food industry, that I could ever do that. But yeah, those are really pretty much, I can't think of any other jobs that I've had that really came up in a big way.
I've only been, the last job that I worked at the job that was a transitional job for me where I went vegan while I worked there. I was there for like 3 years before I went vegan and then went vegan after that and then didn't work there a whole lot longer. But it was very cool in both circumstances, and now where I work, that people, for the most part, are generally interested and usually not rude about it. I mean, three instances where three instances that bothered me, or three people that have bothered me, two instances where I actually said something to those people. There was at the place that I transitioned to veganism, one of the maintenance people there would always, I mean, anytime he got around me, would try to make a comment about eating meat, or, and especially, like, if I went into the cafeteria, because we had a cafeteria on site, if I went into the cafeteria to get a glass of water, you know, he'd have to make a comment. And I actually worked at one of the most renowned drug and alcohol treatment centers in the world, at the adolescent facility. And I said, you know, the kids here are more respectful to me than you are. Like, why are you, I don't understand why you always feel the need to do that. It's rude. There's no reason for you to do that. Because I hit my breaking point with him. And I actually, I was able to do some education with the kitchen manager because he unfortunately was, because people would come in with dietary things all the time, clients there. And you give the clients, I mean, they're paying, you give them whatever they want. And they would come in with dietary, either ethical or allergies. And he was giving, I mean, he was using like animal stock in vegetarian dishes and things like that. And so I did some education with him around. And you'd think somebody that works as a kitchen, as like this more or less a sous chef of a cafeteria would know these things. But, you know, we did a lot of education about label reading and stuff. And it got to the point where if I went into the cafeteria at lunchtime, I would say, what's vegan? You know, and they would be able to tell me, or they would know how to read. Even with the other cafeteria staff, they would say, oh, let me look at this can of beans to see if it's cooked in anything. And they would make me tofu dishes all the time. And the one issue that I did have, and it was so sweet, but they would, you know, have a menu up every day. And sometimes if there was, well, there always were animal products on the menu, but sometimes they'd have a picture of an animal. Like if they had hamburgers, they'd have a picture of a cow. Or if they did something with pigs, they would have a picture of a pig. And I said, you know, that's really like suicide meat. It drives me bonkers. Like you got this picture of a happy cow and then you're serving dead cows. And can you just not? Because they're making the menus themselves. They're choosing to do that. And so they stopped. And one day he came out and he's like, look, we put a lily pad instead of a cow. And I was like, oh, that was really nice.
A lily pad?
Yeah. I mean, it's totally random, but like they wanted to put a picture on there and they didn't want to offend me. And so they did that. And I thought that was very, very sweet.
You could just put vegetables by the vegetarian things
but
or
then
like
they,
fruit by the dessert.
But sure. They even started, they made specific vegan dishes. And so like if they made a vegan soup or something, they would say vegan lentil or vegan whatever.
That was cool.
I thought that was really, really cool. Where I work now, a guy who I really, really have come to like very much, who's a very interesting man, would say things. And I think just because there might be some cultural dialect issues, he has lived in the United States for a very long time. But it seemed like he would intentionally say things kind of to, you know, like he would, if I was talking about food, he'd bring up meat or whatever, and he'd kind of emphasize certain things, and it would bother me. And so one day I was like, because I was going to be traveling with him, and I said, if you do this to me in front of our group when we go out to eat, I'm going to shut you down. And he's like, I wasn't trying to be offensive. And I was like, okay, just wanted to. And he's turned out to be a really, really awesome guy, and I'm glad that I told him that he was bothering me the way that he was doing that, because now he constantly brings up vegan related stuff and it's really cute. And one guy said to me, oh, you're one of those people. The most liberal person in the company said to me, oh, you're one of those people. Cause I work in a really conservative company. But the same guy also brought me a bagel one day and he put a little sticky note on it. Cause I only work part-time, so I start later in the day. And I walked into work, and I had a bagel on my desk, and it had a little sticky note that said, no animals were harmed in the making of this bagel. And I was just like, I don't know. People generally aren't, like, they don't say anything about it. It doesn't come up, you know.
Yeah.
And if I go out to lunch, if they invite me out to lunch, you know, they say, where do you want to eat?
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's been a really good experience, and I feel like I've been talking for a really long time, but I do want to share one other story. We were meeting with another company, who we were doing some trade show work with, and we went to their site and they were providing lunch, and they provided like Subway sandwiches or Jimmy John's or something. And so when everyone was eating, they're like, aren't you going to have a sandwich? Because I just took a big pile of potato chips.
Yeah.
And they're like, aren't you going to eat anything? And I said, I'm vegan. And my boss was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell them. And they were really apologetic. And they asked me like 3 questions about it. And that was it. and they weren't rude. They didn't bother me about it. And they actually, even as I left, continued to apologize for not having anything for me to eat and promised the next time I came that they would have vegan food. And I mean, you just can't underestimate people.
Yeah.
Because I think people want to do right by you, even if they don't agree with you or they don't understand it. They still don't want to offend you.
Yeah.
They want to do right by you.
Yeah.
Especially if they have to work with you. There's always going to be jerks. Always. But by and large, I think most people want you to be feel good and not feel alienated.
And it can never hurt to bring food in to work.
Oh, gosh.
To share. Ever, ever, ever.
No. Especially cupcakes.
Especially cupcakes. Yeah, I know with mine, like with my modeling thing, it's kind of weird because like I actually got my latest, like I've been thinking about it because, well, I do nude modeling. So, you know, like I always have my message wear and stuff that I come in with. And, but ultimately like I'm sitting, you know, I'm posing or standing or whatever. And there's nothing really that I can do. So I really seriously considered getting some kind, like some really clear animal rights tattoo.
You need just vegan across your forehead.
On my body. Yeah. Just right there. Because I've got tattoos, and when people ask me about them, there are, you know, I can be really clear about what they mean, and they do have animal rights themes. But the last one I got is closer to it. I think it's still a little too cryptic for the average person, but at least, you know, it says do unto others, and there's a bee, so that's something. But, yeah, I often, like, during breaks or something, I'll have a book, and usually it's an animal rights related kind of thing, or like for different schools, I might bring some kind of animal rights literature and leave it, you know, in university settings. I can put it at a bulletin board or leave it someplace. So I'm doing that all the time. But at the same time, I don't want to get to the point where they say, oh, and we don't want to ask that one to come back because that lady's always,
yeah,
she's, you know, this isn't the time or the place for those kinds of things. But I think everywhere is the time and the place, honestly, because, I mean, if you were in their shoes, wouldn't you want someone to say something any chance they could? So that's that. Anything else about the veganism in the workplace thing, or can we move on to our product review?
I had another coworker recently I shared with him something that somebody gave me that I didn't necessarily want to eat the entire container of. And so I gave it to somebody else, and it was like a pumpkin filling thing, like mm-hmm. a maple pumpkin, some sort of butter thing. And so there were recipes on the container for it. And he was like, I want to make a vegan, or I want to make a pumpkin pie with this, and I want you to be able to eat it. And so I looked at the recipe on the thing, and I was like, well, this calls for eggs and whatever. And so I actually looked up a pumpkin pie recipe and worked with him to figure out how to veganize whatever he was going to make, because I brought this to share with him, he wanted to make something for me. So just don't underestimate people's capacity to understand you and respect you. But also, I think I warned people about this in a very early episode where I talked about wine not being vegan to my boss. And I was like, I said I was going to bring my own wine to her party because wine isn't vegan, and she freaked out about it. And so I think you do want to be, and I should have just brought, she already knew I was vegan. I should have just brought my wine and said, hey, this is vegan. Did you know that a lot of wine isn't? And she could have tried it and it not been a big issue.
Yeah.
So to just, however you think something's going to come across, there's always probably a better way to express yourself, because you don't want to make them feel bad, because that turns people off.
Yeah, that's true.
If they feel bad. So if you can always try to, if people do want to ask you questions about it, I mean, I have literature in my desk drawer at work. If people ask me about it, I've given away veg starter kits at work for people. You know, one of my coworkers is like, oh, my wife is trying to get me to eat more vegetables.
Didn't one of your coworkers just read a book, or like you lent her a book that you were going to?
Yes. Yes. Actually, one of them I've lent her several books on veganism. She recently read Eating Animals and
Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows.
Yeah, she was crying over that one. She was really, really upset. And that was the, she read Eating Animals first, and she was already like leaning towards vegetarian and having a hard time continuing to eat meat. But I think that book kind of cinched it for her, and she's newly married. And so that's even, that's different. I mean, it's going to be a process for her. I don't think she's fully vegan. I think she is mostly vegan, but she's at the beginning stages of this process and newly married to somebody who isn't interested in that. And so that's going to be interesting for her. But yeah, I mean, it's not your job to filter the information that you share with people necessarily. It's not your job to assume that people won't be receptive, right. I guess.
That's true.
You do have to be careful how you deliver the information, like we talked about in the Will Potter episode, that we're always walking the line of when are we going to lose this person? When are they going to shut down and not let us say anything else? But you still can't not paint the picture for people.
Yeah.
You still can't not educate them if you have the opportunity.
Yep.
Because it's not your job to figure out what they will or won't be receptive to.
It's true.
So
now can we talk about
I'm
the
sorry. I blah, 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 blah. Just went on and on.
That's okay. Well, I don't have, obviously, you know, I work for an animal rights nonprofit, so I don't have a lot of conflict in this area.
Should we just call this one the Ryan Show?
The Ryan.
I work for Big Pharma.
Yeah. You know,
so I have loads of conflicts.
Yeah.
Well, and where you work, you probably have to deal with people buying, not necessarily meat, because I don't think they sell meat there, but, or maybe like.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
They do? Oh, I was going to say like milk and eggs and stuff.
You have a grocery section?
You have a whole grocery section where they have meat?
Well, it's not.
Well, I mean, but you know, people with Slim Jims or
whatever.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Spam and.
Yeah.
All kinds of horrible.
Yeah, gross. Ugh. You know, like canned soup with stuff in it. Yeah. I want to drink stuff. Can we do our product review?
We can.
Product review. We're going to do a product review. Yeah.
Okay.
Megan's already out of hers. Elliot, did you drink yours already?
I did.
And it was awesome.
Well, then Dallas and I will toast.
Okay.
I can't reach that far.
I can. Woo! That is the sound of joy, because we've just toasted with West Soy Chocolate Peppermint Stick Beverage.
Which we talked about for 1 second in the last episode, but now we're reviewing it.
Yeah.
So
West Soy is a brand of soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they make other stuff, but they make soy milk.
It's my favorite. Don't they make tofu?
What? Oh, yeah, they make tofu.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's like the stuff you get in the aseptic packages that would be on the shelf. And this is a holiday beverage.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying beverage, and the glasses that we have it into make me think of the Big Lebowski.
These are not vegan white Russians.
They're not vegan white Russians, but
Megan did ask for some whiskey with hers, but
yeah. So it's I really like it. And being a fan of chocolate, soy milk, almond milk, chocolate, coconut milk, etc. Not the biggest fan of the rice milk. I don't know. But I like it.
I think it's got the perfect amount of mint flavor to it.
So there are some people who really don't like mint chocolate. I don't get that.
They're communists.
I think they're communists.
Those commies.
I love mint chocolate. I think it's the greatest combination. And yeah, I don't know. Do they make like a dairy version of this kind of thing?
I think they do, because I remember going crazy for, at holiday time, there was like a chocolate nog and there was like four different flavors. And I can't even tell you, I think it was, I think the first year that I was vegan, I wasn't really into anything. I shouldn't even say the first year, but probably like the first 6-7 months, I wasn't really doing anything processed because I didn't realize like soda and potato chips and all that were vegan. And so I wasn't really on the lookout for things like this. But, like, the second holiday season being vegan and now going into the third, I'm just like, whenever I can find this, I get so excited. I get so excited the holidays are coming up because then I get this.
Yes, it is. It's pretty cool.
And they have, and Silk makes a regular soy nog, which is terrific.
Oh, yeah.
And it's...
There's a pumpkin spice variety as well. But I like... I think this is pretty fantastic. I mean,
I think it's perfect.
I wish that West Soy would, I don't know, like improve their packaging a little bit. Because also, I feel like it's not as slick as some of the other packaging. And then, I don't know, it just looks a little bit like hippie-ish or...
Really? It looks 90s. Holiday-ish to me.
It looks... Well, I don't know. The box for this particular brand, yes, but... West Soy in general, like their products. I was surprised because had they had a slicker look to them, I think I would have tried it sooner and discovered that I really, really liked it.
This from the woman complaining about working for an advertising place.
Because they were stupid. But I think advertising is important. The first impression matters. You can but only make a first impression once.
But a lot of non-dairy milks, most non-dairy milks come in similar aseptic packaging.
No, the packaging is fine. I'm talking about the design.
I don't know what their normal packaging looks like because my...
Apparently it didn't make a very big impression then.
Well, only because my non-dairy milk purchases, I always buy the stuff that's refrigerated anyway. Because in the refrigerated section, they've got, like, the two-pack for $5.99 or whatever. And so that's why, like, I'm never looking in the aseptic packaging. And even this chocolate soy milk and the rice milk brand wasn't even in the normal non-dairy milk section.
They were on, like, an end cap?
Yep. In different sections of the store. There were multiple sections of the store that had different ones.
Yeah. Well, look for it. So it's West Soy. It's a brown box. It's got like a candy cane on it.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, try any of them. Try the Silk Nog. I mean, if you like eggnog, like I liked eggnog, it's not, it doesn't have kind of like the same weird cream aftertaste, but it's still, I think it will
definitely. It's like pure
fat. It will definitely satisfy your desire for that kind of product.
Yeah, I never had eggnog as a kid before I went vegan, so it was pretty exciting.
So like you didn't feel like you were missing out on anything?
No, I mean, I just thought it was awesome, just tastes awesome, but my metabolism isn't what it used to be, and so I have to watch it, because I would literally, I mean, I would get like a, what are they, a pint? A quart? I don't know what they are. Anyway, the fourth gallons, whatever, and like drink one in an afternoon.
I actually finished a whole container of the nog in one day.
Yeah, it's so good.
I don't know what, and in addition to that, I had been at a baby shower that I threw for a friend that I had another friend cater, and I was there for the entire party because I was throwing it, and I ate all day long. Of just, like, decadent, ridiculous food, and then still drank an entire carton of nog when I got home. It was really bad. But it might have had something to do with the entire punch bowl of Alizé punch that I made.
What's that?
Alizé?
Yeah.
It's a booze. It has, like, cognac and fruit-flavored liquors in it, and I made it with some juices and lime popsicles. It's like a normal punch, except for an adult version of that. And I drank a fair amount of that. Yeah. Because it tasted like candy.
Yeah.
So I don't think that did anything to help with me wanting to eat all freaking day.
And this West Soy chocolate peppermint drink tastes like candy, too.
It does. And I don't know that I can say enough how much I think that the chocolate to peppermint ratio is perfect.
It's so good.
It's not...
Go find it and drink it.
It's not overly
You'll be peppermint-y. Happy. It's awesome.
It doesn't feel like brushing your teeth. It's not mint like that.
No. It's chocolate, peppermint.
I want chocolate peppermint toothpaste.
That would actually
be good. That would be awesome.
It reminds me of Frangos.
I don't know what that is.
That they had at Dayton's way back when.
They were a Marshall Fields thing.
Or like, oh, Marshall Fields or, oh.
When Marshall Fields bought them, then Dayton's had them, and then Marshall Fields just ended up taking over all the stores.
So, or like those Andes mints. They need to make those vegan. Oh, that would be good.
I'm sure that there is a version
Andes
of that.
Mints, Twix, and Kit Kats.
The Oreo fudge creams are vegan.
Oh, that's no good. I don't want to know that. I already knew what Oreos were, but... Mints.
They're amazing.
How about the white chocolate Oreos? How about
No, they are not.
Oh, effers. Not heifers, effers.
Ugh. Okay. So that was... It's delicious. Go
hey,
get
one time Kim got me bubblegum flavored toothpaste.
Yeah.
It was pretty gross, actually. I was so I saw it in the store. I was so excited, and she was buying a Vitamix, and I'm like, since you're spending $600 already, will you just buy me this toothpaste? It was so gross.
Okay, on to the green challenge.
So don't buy that.
Don't buy bubblegum flavored toothpaste. Green challenge.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's time for the green challenge.
Green challenge.
Green challenge.
There's no gloves. There's no swords.
No white suits.
Uh-uh. It's just green challenge.
You're just doing the earth a solid. And this episode's green challenge, we're going to stick with the sweet stuff. Because
there's sweet things for green challenges?
Yes. I think you might like this green challenge.
Do I get to eat things?
Yes. You get to eat more things.
And be green while I'm eating?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, a lot of... Well, being vegan is...
Can I side note?
What else do you do?
Oh.
That wasn't supposed to be a burn.
Right through the heart.
That's not what I meant.
Right through the heart.
I mean, what else do we do? This whole show is about...
Honest, like,
wandering off topic and coming back. Artfully.
I don't think... If my husband came out here, I would make him announce to the entire universe that I never let him finish a sentence. Ever. Like, I'll ask him a question... And then I'll interrupt him, and then I'll ask him, like, the same question because I didn't get the answer in the first time that he answered it because I didn't let him finish. So I'm constantly side-noting, interjecting, interrupting. I'm like, knock, knock, who's there? Interrupting cow, moo! Okay. Side note, from our last green challenge, which was not Nambla, but it was Tolby. Clearly, I haven't learned anything.
It's true, because the kitchen light is still on and nobody's in there.
Yeah.
It's on again.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, well, that's something to work on. It's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
So this is a challenge for you.
Can I also say, though?
And you will rise to the occasion.
I do live in a very teeny tiny apartment with poor lighting.
It's true.
This, like, in our entire living room... Our only light source is a lamp. So that the kitchen lights are on. If they weren't, it'd be mighty dark in here.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
And Elliot's close enough to the kitchen that he might want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay, so it's not wasteful. Nobody's in there, but it helps Elliot. And anything that helps Elliot.
See my peppermint soy chocolate thing.
Yeah. See, so you can stare mournfully at your empty glass.
Yeah.
Thank goodness you have two beers over there.
One's empty.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yes. So, okay, back to this eating.
Okay, thing. Eating green challenge.
Yes. And
the
it's
best
about,
kind.
It's about ice cream. Vegan ice cream, of course, non-dairy ice cream.
I'm scratching my head.
I know, but it's exciting, is it not?
Well, hurry up and tell me. Stop letting me interrupt.
Here's the thing. So when you go out for ice cream, which we can do, they often ask you, would you like a cone or a cup? Always opt for the cone. Because you can eat it. You can't eat the cup.
That might be the laziest, best green challenge ever.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, but, I mean, is the Franklin Freeze even open still into this season?
No.
Okay, so our one option for vegan ice cream parlor. Actually, no, we have a couple, but Are they all still open into the...
No.
Is Emmy's still open?
Well, maybe on the Skyway downtown, but... No, they're not open year-round.
Izzy's?
No. But... It's still good to know.
How about this? If you go on vacation somewhere.
Yeah.
And you go somewhere that serves vegan ice cream when you're on vacation,
get these the green, cone. And by the way, these green challenges are not a one-time only thing. This is like you store it away and then you commit to this.
Do you think I'm going to remember this in the winter? Or in the summer? Do you think I'm going to remember?
Yeah. It's about ice cream.
Yeah, but I just buy ice cream at the store and I, like that's not an option. I can't go to my grocer and say, can you take this pint of
Delicious and put it in a cone? No, we don't want to do that. In that case, you just eat it out of the carton with a spoon and then you don't dirty a dish that has to be washed.
Well, why would I bother putting it in a dish anyway?
So you've been green this whole time even with your ice cream.
You guys don't even want to know what I do with my vegan ice cream as it is.
I probably don't.
I actually put it in the microwave first.
You're going to tell us anyway. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You make soup?
I put my pint of vegan ice cream, whatever flavor, I put it in the microwave first for 1 minute.
What?
I like it to be melty.
Wow.
It's rock hard when you buy it.
Yeah, well, a minute, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm actually being, I mean, I don't put it in a bowl, because who eats just a bowl of ice cream? Why wouldn't you eat the pint, right? So, I mean, that's why it's in that perfectly sized pint container for you to eat the whole thing of 450 calories per serving, and there's like 6 servings in there. Yeah, I put it in the microwave for a minute. I like my ice cream melty.
Well, I like mine stirred up, but I guess I could make that sacrifice. I don't know. Anyway, when you're out... and you're ordering ice cream and you have the option between a cone and a cup, just always take the cone.
I bet many of our listeners, though, I mean, there's only a certain portion of our listeners that have to deal with such cold temperatures that their ice cream parlors close in the winter.
Izzy's was open 3 hours ago because they were serving up some cake batter ice cream.
Oh.
So Dallas lied to you.
Well...
I'm just saying, let's not direct business away from Izzy's.
Yeah,
okay.
Blueberry. Okay. Izzy's is
all right, so just great. Get on your internets, find out when places are, if they're still open for the season.
Next time you're there. Whether it's next summer or next week. Anyway, I thought you'd like that one.
I do. Can I just say, though, this whole summer, and as a vegan, I've never been to an ice cream parlor as a vegan. I know, Franklin Freeze. I know. But I still haven't made it.
All right, I know what we're doing next summer.
Are you buying?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
totally. I'm done with that.
I will do that. So, all right, now we all know how to order vegan ice cream. Properly. To be environmentally conscious.
Yes.
Yeah.
You succeeded admirably.
Yep.
And I was wondering how you were going to turn that into food, but now I know.
Now we know. Yeah, that's important.
Buy edible, or if you can containers. Ever buy anything that comes in a container that can be edible.
Actually, I have never had a taco salad in like a shell bowl. So.
That's weird.
I would like to try that at some point.
I had that last week.
Where?
At this Mexican place in Maple Grove.
My in-laws live in Maple Grove. Maybe I could, because I always thought that would be cool. You can eat your bowl.
Oh, love.
It's those. Like in Willy Wonka.
My friend, when I lived with my friend Chelsea, we lived in Maple Grove.
Well.
In fact, where I work, I shouldn't be telling people this.
Nah.
Pretend you don't know where I work.
Huh? So.
I probably don't want to share too many. I mean, I already share all the intimate details of my life. No, we don't need any stalkers,
really.
No.
Not really. You're going to have somebody like
show up,
pop out of a box of samples that are supposed to be in a machine or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be scary.
No, we don't want that.
No.
But, okay. So, shout out.
Not that anyone would want to stalk me because I'm crazy and I would just interrupt them. Whatever they were trying to do, I'd be like, wait a second, I got to tell you something. Before you stab me, Just let me tell you something. I had this weird thing happen, and I just want to tell you all about it. This is like this one time that I almost got stabbed, and it was just, yeah. So
that, yeah, that would be a backfiring situation for a stalker.
Yeah, nobody try to attack me, because I'll just annoy you.
A lot.
I'll just irritate you into wanting to go away.
Which is why you don't waste all this time with self-defense classes like me.
Like all of my friends. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Shout out.
Shout it.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout it to on the shout it off the mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell.
That'll be my hills and my, everywhere.
My shtick will go be just tell. Messing up.
You don't even know that song because you're Jewish. Do you know that song?
What?
That Go Tell It on the Mountain song.
Probably not. Go Tell It on the Mountain?
That Jesus Christ is born. You didn't go to Sunday school? Jews don't go to Sunday school?
I'm a heathen and I knew that.
It's a Christmas song.
Go Tell It on the Mountain's a Christmas song?
Sure it is. Yeah.
It's about the birth of Christ.
What does that have to do with Christmas?
It's the birth of Christ.
What?
Christmas is Jesus' birthday.
Well, I
know that.
I don't celebrate. I don't celebrate Christmas.
I know that.
I celebrate Giftmas. I celebrate the getting, mostly the getting, and somewhat the giving of gifts.
Festivus.
For the rest of us.
Yeah, my family does Festivus. So, yeah.
But I do know my Sunday school songs.
Yeah, I
that I do. But I didn't realize the whole birth of the... I thought that was baby zombie... is that Easter zombie Jesus?
No, that's when he was nailed to the cross.
Yeah, that's when he woke up after being dead for 3 days.
That's zombie Jesus Day, right?
Easter.
Yeah.
Easter.
Zombie Jesus Day.
Because the last Easter thing that I went to...
to your letters.
Yeah, really. No kidding.
To your hate mail. Because I said to my mom at the last Easter thing that I went to, I said, is it... Zombie Jesus Day or Baby Jesus Day? And she said, don't say that. And I was like, what? What do you mean? What are you talking about? You're dead. You're not dead anymore. You're undead. That sounds like a zombie. That's what zombies are, right? Undead.
Pretty much.
You were dead. Now you're not.
But.
And you weren't reincarnated. So therefore you're a zombie.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly he's risen from the dead. So he's no longer dead.
But zombies rise from their graves.
Zombies are still dead.
No, they're undead.
They're just walking around.
Elliot, zombies, undead.
They don't have pulses or anything.
Undead. Do you think Jesus has a pulse after he died?
That's the idea, yes. That's the whole story.
Okay, whatever.
But again, I don't know.
She's the Jew. She doesn't know.
I'm the Unitarian Universalist Agnostic Jew.
I went to Lutheran church and I don't even know. I am all for people believing in and participating in whatever makes them better people.
Yeah.
I am not anti-religion in any way, shape, or form.
I like that. Yeah.
If everybody were as good of whatever their religion is, as mm-hmm. my parents are, you know, my parents are great, wonderful people.
Yeah.
I am not anti-religion by any means. I just don't know a whole lot about
the details.
details, schmetails.
Detail. Yeah, that stuff isn't.
And we already talked all about this in our religion episode. We had one of those, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm just okay. I'm drunk on chocolate peppermint.
Yeah. What did you put in there?
I don't know, but she didn't share.
Yeah,
I
know.
Oh, maybe there isn't any. Maybe this is all whiskey.
Maybe.
Maybe I put all the whiskey in my glass, none of it in yours.
On accident.
Oops. Just kidding. There's no whiskey in here. I'm just weird.
Okay, well.
You had a shout out.
Shout out to Beeg Beeg.
Your beagle?
Yeah. He'll never hear this.
He doesn't. You don't make him listen to Midwest Vegan Radio?
Well,
Holly plays MVR for her rats. Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Well, he might hear, like, the rough cut. But, yeah. Beeg Beeg and Paya.
And who's Paya?
Warren.
Oh. I'm not familiar with all of your fur baby names.
Yep. And the unfortunately named Taz. And that's Milo. Taz. It's a bad... We didn't name him, but he came with it. And they all had their photos taken today. And so, professionally. Nice. So, thank you very much for putting up with that, everybody. My four boys. So, that's my shout-out.
Nice.
To my boys.
I want to make an unofficial shout-out to all of my Minneapolis vegan friends.
I'm one of them.
Well, just kidding. Of course you are.
Okay.
But I have special love for my vegan Minneapolis friends.
Yeah.
Without them, I wouldn't have as easy a go.
Yeah, that's true.
Life would be markedly more difficult. And it's interesting because, you know, I had friends before I was vegan. And the ones that became vegan, I still hang out with. And the ones that are not, I don't really find that I have a whole lot in common with them anymore.
Yeah. It is kind of hard.
And I feel like I've, you know, developed these great relationships and friendships with people because we have this one very important thing in common. It's easy to be, it's easy to get close to people really quickly when you have this really important thing in common.
Well, you don't have a hurdle.
Right.
You know? So you just are freed up to get to know somebody without having to worry about that thing.
Yeah.
Coming up with them.
And so to all of my
vegan
friends.
That could be a definite deal breaker.
I love you all.
Oh.
Well, not Dallas, but everybody else. Just kidding.
I know. Okay.
Elliot, do you have any shout outs?
No, I'm good.
I shout out to Elliot.
Can we shout out to Lion Kugel's Honey Bites?
We can shout out to whomever you want.
Okay. Very good.
Megan, do you have a shout out? No. Okay.
You don't want to shout out to... What the heck are your... Do you don't want to shout out to Cool?
I'll shout out to Cool in a couple months when he turns 17.
Your cat's turning 17?
Yeah.
OMG.
I'll do a shout out to my friend Raina in Santa Maria, California, who is very close to going vegan.
Woo! Raina! Raina!
Yeah, we are Raina. So cheering you on.
So,
rah, 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 rah.
She's going to talk to a dietitian because she has some bariatric surgery issues. She's 3 years out from having surgery, and she really wants to do it, and I just want her to know that I'm behind her 100%.
I'm behind her, well, not physically, but emotionally I am in support of that.
Yes, and I can certainly... connect her with someone else who has had that surgery as well and is vegan, if you would like.
She would love that.
So I can do that.
Look at us making connections.
If you want to know somebody else who's vegan and kind of like you, I might know them because I know a lot of them.
You know a lot of people.
I know a lot of people.
I know like so 1/8 of the people you know. So your luck with me is not as good.
But yeah, if you need some of that, let me know. So yeah, totally. I'll remind me. We'll get him hooked up on Facebook or something.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Well, till next time, guys.
Episode 20, done.
Sayonara.
Au revoir.